Hi, this is Ian Stephen from Olympic City, Sydney, Australia, listening on the World Wide Web to WNAH Nashville.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua. We are One of Messiah congregation. This is Angelo Malachi, and my wife is here, Carrie. And be with us for the next half hour. We're going to be talking about things maybe not familiar to you, but it's right in your Bible. Heavenly Father, bless this half hour in the mighty name of the Messiah. I pray, Lord, you'll touch people that need a touch from the kingdom of heaven. Heal those that need healing. Loose those that need a loose from captivity. Save those that need to be saved, Lord and God. We just thank and praise you. There's only salvation in the mighty name of Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God we could be here. We are One of Messiah congregation. We are Jews and Gentiles, and we all surrendered our lives to the Messiah. He is the Hadavaha Elohim, the Word of God made flesh. Today is the 11th month of God, and it's the 13th day, according to the Bible. And you may never heard of this, but it's called Shavat. Shavat. And you might say, where is this guy getting this from? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7. It says it's the 11th month, which is called, in your Bible, English Bible, it says Sabbat. Hebrew, it's Shavat. Of course, you know, in the Gregorian calendar that we unfortunately follow, what is today? Today is something like the February 2nd. But, you know, that's if you follow Pope Gregory. We use that, don't we, for our dentist appointments, doctor's appointments?
Yes, of course we do.
Praise the Lord. But we also keep track of God's calendar. You think a lot of people know about God's calendar?
I think a lot of people do not know about God's calendar, but I think they should be interested, and it's actually very exciting that God has his own calendar, which helps lead us to his feast days.
That's right. You know,
which was probably another question when they hear his feast days that probably throws them to,
that's
right?
That's another whole subject,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we come from the Bible, from Hebrew, Jewish perspective, because the Bible's written by Jews. You know, and the prophets were Jewish. Jesus, Yeshua, he's Jewish. The apostles were Jewish.
You know, when you said before that we're Jews and Gentiles, maybe we should say that we are Jews and Gentiles that have joined the Israel of God.
That's correct.
You know, because I guess you're not supposed to be a Gentile anymore.
Yeah, Gentile in Hebrew just means the nations. You know, so you're not of the nations anymore when you surrender your life to the Messiah.
Amen.
And you join the Israel of God. That's correct. You know, we try to make straight the way of the Lord. Remember, we're live at the studio today. We don't come with tapes. We're here live. You can call us at 256-1360, 256-1360. That's 615 area code if you're just driving around out there in the snow. And, you know, if you're listening today, please call in. Join us with the topic. The topic is varied today. It's it's always multifaceted. It's never one topic. You know, when I go to our congregation on the Sabbath, which is tomorrow, of course, tomorrow is the Sabbath of the Lord, and it's the fourth commandment of God. It starts tonight at sundown. So Shabbat Shalom to people that are already having the Sabbath around the world. But when I go to the congregation, you know, we find all these different Christians that come from different churches, and they come to our congregation, and they all bought these, like, different Jewish Bibles, and they bought all these different words of God, and they come up multi versions, and it's such a shame, because what that shows me as a researcher, it shows me they haven't done their homework on the Bible versions.
That's right. Bible versions are very, very important. And one of the reasons is because there's one word of God. You know, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. There's one word of God, and there's one book called the Word of God, and they are the same. And therefore, because we love the Lord and he is the Word of God, we want to protect that Word of God, because the devil is constantly trying to say, hath God said? Really, hath God said? And he changes the Word of God as much as he can.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. You know, we are a congregation, One of Messiah. We meet right here in Brentwood, Tennessee. Tomorrow, you're invited at 605 Wilson Pike, 605 Wilson Pike, right in Brentwood, Tennessee. And we come from this Hebrew-Jewish perspective, but we don't come from Judaism. I know that confuses a lot of people. A lot of people don't understand the rabbis are post-Yeshua. In other words, after Messiah. And this Judaism that people, when you think of Jews today, they think of Judaism. That's all post-Yeshua. There was no Judaism at the time of the Messiah.
Let's give a little history here. I think what we're talking about is there's problems in the churches. And because of that, a lot of people are re-looking at their Bible, actually reading their Bible, and finding out their churches haven't told them a lot of things that are in the Bible that they should have absolutely seen themselves, such as God's calendar, God's feast days, and that you have to live by the whole Word of God. Well, when these people come out, sometimes they don't know where to go. So they go to the Christian churches, and they're talking about Jesus, but don't do anything he says. So then they don't know where to go, and they end up going to a synagogue.
Right.
And then they start listening to rabbis who, like Angela said, were like 1,000 years or so after the Messiah. And these rabbis never found the Messiah, but yet they wrote all these commentaries about the Old Testament scriptures, which is called the Tanakh. And they have no spirit of God, but people are listening to them rather than listening to real Jews who believe in the Messiah.
Right. Actually, you know, the Judaism of today, I would say, of course, it's evolved over the centuries, but it first started between 200 and 400 A.D. when these men elected themselves, gave them a title rabbi, because there's no rabbis in the Old Testament. You could look that up. There's no rabbis in the Old Testament. And they wrote this thing called the Talmud, the Mishnah, and the Gemara. Now, I know to the listening vicinity out there, you guys probably never even heard of any of this information. But you will one day because, you know, even in Israel, they're pushing for this third temple to be built. And they're trying to push this thing called the halacha, which is the, you know, the legal legalism of the Lubavitch. And that's a sect of Judaism that's running the show there in Israel. And they're trying to push all the laws that they made up, which is totally not in the Bible. I'll give you an example. Like tomorrow on Saturday is the Shabbat, right? They're doing something, Judaism is doing something called Tu B'Shevat. And you might say, what in the world is Tu B'Shevat? I don't read Hebrew or speak Hebrew. Well, Tu B'Shevat, to make it simple to everybody out there, it's just the New Year's of trees. Now, is there a New Year of trees in the Bible? Even the Judaism sites say very clearly that Tu B'Shevat is not mentioned in the Torah, which is the five books of Moses. And, you know, Judaism makes up all these things, and unfortunately, we're finding Gentiles that are gravitating towards, different Judaism aspects. They just believe in these things. There's no Tu B'Shevat. The word, matter of fact, Tu is not even a word. It's actually sort of an acronym, I would say, for the number 15, and it's the 15th of Shavat. Even though tomorrow to us is the 14th of Shavat, because the Judaism calendar is a day off, and everything about Judaism has a fictitious thing. What I'm trying to get at is if the Christians knew, and anybody knew, that God's New Year is January? No. God's New Year, when is it?
It's in the spring.
How do we prove that?
It's the same month of Passover. It's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2.
That's right. But, I mean, if people don't look in their Bibles, I mean, everyone, you know, we're so used to doing Pope Gregory's New Year, and then Judaism has about four or five New Years. It's so ridiculous. I'd rather do God's New Year. It's Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I mean, that's pretty clear.
That's right. What we're trying to say is watch out for anything that takes away from the Word of God. Because there's a lot of books out there for you Christians. There's a lot of books out there for you Jewish people that are not in your Bible, your Old Testament scriptures and your New Testament scriptures.
Right.
And when they don't match, they're making up things. And it's a lie. It's simple as that. It's a lie.
You know, we've been commanded by God in Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verse 2, you should not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Deuteronomy 12:32, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Proverbs 30, verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar.
That brings us into something very important, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar.
Amen.
We found some names of some people who have rewritten the Word of God, several of them actually, and things have happened to them. They've lost their voice.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Angela has information about that, because what they did is they created new Bible versions that take away from the Word of God.
Amen. You know, it's very sad. We live in a world where, to the average person, I hear people say constantly they're very confused. And I could see how that has happened. Satan has made just a pool of Bible versions that you could jump in and get lost. And, you know, we know there's only one God, and obviously if there's one God, there must be one word, because I don't think God is double-minded or, you know. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, you're supposed to know this first, and I don't think anyone knows this first, but no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Of course not. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So right here, Peter is talking about the prophecy of the Scripture. What Bible did Peter have?
He had the Tanakh, which was the Torah, the writings, and the prophets.
That's right. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They think Jesus, or Yeshua, as we call him, was walking around with any version. Of course they weren't at the time.
And you know, these so-called prophets out there that are doing exactly what they're not supposed to be doing according to that Scripture, they're interpreting, they're looking at things like, for instance, last time there was a war in Israel with Lebanon, how many pastors, how many people came on with, this is Ezekiel 38, this is, you know? Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. And it happens all the time.
It's been happening. Let me put it this way. You know, for the last 30 years, I've heard so many people predict prophecies of the end of the world. Every time there's some kind of atrocity that happens in the world, all these Protestant ministers can't wait to jump on the bandwagon and want to be the first one to say, there's going to be, it's the end of the world. Go read Ezekiel. Go read Zechariah. Revelations is coming to pass. You know what? A lot of these ministers also have come and gone, and they're buried, and their prophecies are false.
Yeah, and people seem to just forget that they were false prophets.
Exactly.
Nobody says anything, but they're false prophets.
Now remember, we're at 256-1360, 256-1360, if you want to get in on this conversation. We'd love for you to call. 615 area code if you're a little bit out of the vicinity. We are One of Messiah Congregation. We come from a truthful perspective. We come from the Hebrew Bible, and we come from a Jewish Hebrew way of looking at things.
So, Angela, what did happen to some of these guys who actually changed the Word of God?
Well, from what we read, we have a book by a lady. She was a professor, or she still is. Her name is Gail Riplinger, and she states in her book that, take like the Living Bible. There was a man called Kenneth Taylor. Now, he mysteriously, halfway through paraphrasing, Mr. Taylor lost his voice and still speaks in a hoarse whisper. You know, some psychiatrist who examined him suggested that the voice failure was Taylor's psychological self-punishment for tampering with what he believed was the Word of God. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if God just flat out did that. Here's a guy that thought he was such a genius, and now he can hardly talk. There's another man with the New American Standard Version, Philip Schaff. I mean, just listen to this. He's been silenced. He's a collaborator on the New Greek Committee and director of the American Standard Version, which formed the foundation of the New American Standard and the Living Bible. Paralleling Taylor's pathology, Schaff's son finds the same frog in Philip Schaff's throat. Even as early as 1854, the warning was given, his voice so affected that he could not speak in public so to be heard. Isn't that terrible?
It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Because whenever you try to mess with the Word of God and change the Word of God, you're lucky if that's all that happens to you. A scary thing.
By 1892, the power of articulated speech was gone. So, unfortunately, Mr. S-C-H-A-F-F, Schaff, Philip. Yes, he shouldn't be tampering with the Word of God. There's other people that you'd like to hear about. I mean, maybe my wife would like to read some of these. There's some Greek Greek text. There's an SP right here.
Well, there's also, of course, Westcott and Hort. Do you remember them? Westcott and Hort created the NIV. They hated the King James and wanted to put an end to it. And Westcott's biographer cites that in 1858, he was quite inaudible. And by 1870, his voice reached few and was understood by still fewer. So as you can see, that's it's not what you want to do. Another one was J.B. Phillips. You can use Proverbs, the froward tongue shall be cut off. J.B. Phillips tells his own autobiography. He says, I was still doing a fair measure of speaking in schools and churches until the late summer of 1961. And then quite suddenly, my speaking, writing, and communication power stopped. I was not in panic, but I was almost alarmed. I was certainly alarmed. And when a few weeks' rest brought no improvement, I canceled all speaking engagements for the rest of the year. The Price of Success, the title of his autobiography, is The Price of Success. But which one did he do? He did the New Testament in Modern English. So you see, that happened to him. And I believe it was possibly him, I have to look it up, that also went crazy.
That's right. Well, you know, with this name and a few men, there's another guy, S.P. Tregellis. Schaff himself writes of S.P. Tregellis. He's the author of the New Greek Text, which preceded and strongly influenced the Westcott and Hort revision. Of Tregellis, Schaff writes, he was scarcely able to speak audibly. So these are men that have tampered with the Word of God, and, you know, this is just a little piece of what they're going to get, because they've added and they've diminished from the Word of God. How dare them write another version or edit the Word of God?
And, you know, what's really terrible is Westcott and Hort, who created the NIV, they actually created their own Greek text, own Greek manuscript to go with it. So they not only changed the English, they actually changed the Greek underlying. And they were New Age people. Madame Blavatsky was one of their people that they listened to. She was from the school of, how do you say that? Theosophy.
She was a Satanist.
Yes, she was a Satanist. That's right. Yes. And they were New Age people. And that's the Bible you're reading if you're reading an NIV. You're missing a lot of your scripture, and much of it has been changed. Now, sin is less sinful in the NIV.
That's right. Now, remember, we're at 256-1360 if you want to get in on this conversation. What Bible are you reading? You know, most churches around here are pushing the NIV. There's a lady called Virginia Mellencott. You could look her up on the internet. Virginia Mellencott, she's a professing lesbian. She helped edit the NIV. Now, do you think that's holy?
Not at all. And I guess we should tell them, okay, what Bible is the right Bible, shouldn't we? We've been telling them which one's the wrong one, I guess. Most people should know if you've done your homework. The King James Version is the only Bible.
That's 1611.
1611. That is from the original manuscripts. That means the letters, the Gospels and letters, copies upon copies that were saved. And all of them are in agreement 95 to 97% of the time. So those are correct. All the other versions are from the Catholic codices, which is the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus.
That's right. You know, and the reason why we're telling you out, audience out there, is because you may not even know what Bible you have. Just because the leather's nice or the binding, that doesn't make a Bible holy.
Not at all.
And, you know, you got to think to yourself, how many Jesuses are there? How many words of God is there? I mean, so you need to go look at what version you got, why you're reading it, what was the underlying text. Because you might have a Bible that has many verses missing or chapters. You know, some people got these things, this book called the Septuagint, and they, you know, they swear on it. But I got a copy, and I found chapters of, like, Jeremiah missing. I mean, this is totally absurd. And people think the Bible version is not a big thing. It's a big thing because you're not supposed to add unto the Word of God. You know, it says in the book of Revelations, even the book of Revelations states that whoever adds to this the word of this prophecy, God is going to add unto you the plagues that are written in the book. Don't you think that's serious? If you diminish from the words of this prophecy, God's going to take away your name out of the book of life. And for all you Baptists out there, he's going to take your name out of the book of life. That means it had to be in the book of life to be taken out of it. Yeah, there's no eternal security. So make sure you know what you're reading. Make sure you know what Bible you're reading. It's important. Which God are you serving? You know, it's a shame. You know, most Christians, they only have 9 commandments. Isn't that a shame? Which commandment are they really missing?
They're missing the 4th one. And you know what's interesting is all the Bibles actually have the commandments in them in Exodus 20. But yet, because people are so involved in church doctrine versus what the Bible actually says, they can recite you church doctrine, Jesus is a Sabbath, you know, and every day is a Sabbath and all kinds of things like that. But you know what the Bible says? Keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. Remember to keep the Sabbath holy.
You know, I find most Christians don't even know where the 10 commandments are. They don't even know where the 10 commandments are written. Let's tell them. They're in Exodus chapter 20. Go look it up yourself. Exodus chapter 20. And also Deuteronomy chapter 5. And unfortunately, I know a lot of these Protestant pastors, they keep telling everybody that the 77% of the Bible, known as the Old Testament, or we call it the Tanakh, is done away. What do you think? Do you think that we should throw away 77% of the Bible?
How can we, when Jesus said that you have to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God?
Well, most people never think about when Yeshua, Jesus, said that. Basically, he had from Genesis to Malachi. Now, we are One of Messiah congregation. I want to invite you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Oh, tomorrow we're going to be at 1 o'clock. It's a little different tomorrow. 1 o'clock at the New Hope Community Church, and that's in 605 Wilson Pike, right in Brentwood, Tennessee. You are invited to come and experience what keeping the Sabbath is. Sabbath is the 4th commandment of God. We are not Seventh-day Adventists, because that's a group that was just created in the 1800s. We have nothing to do with that. We just are people that read the Bible. And I know you maybe never heard of the 4th commandment. Go read your 10 commandments today. I'm giving you a lesson. I want you to go read your 10 commandments.
That's right. And when people say that, you know, in Acts it said they met the first day of the week and broke bread. Well, big deal. Yes, they did. Did they forget about how many times they met on the Sabbath? And all the Gentiles came to the city on the Sabbath to hear the word of God? See, all the times it says Sabbath, they never even mention. And by the way, it's 60 times in the New Testament scriptures.
Amen.
So their doctrines don't make any sense. Well, God doesn't change.
God never changes. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." It says, "And that from a child," Paul is telling Timothy, "thou hast known the holy scriptures." Now, from a child, what scriptures did what holy scriptures did he know from a child?
The only thing there was the Torah, the writings, and the, what they call it?
The Psalms.
The Psalms, yeah.
That's what Yeshua, Jesus called it. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, the Word of God from Genesis to Malachi is very important. After Malachi, there was like almost a 400-year gap, 397 to be a little more precise. And then, of course, later on in life, the Gospels were written in the letters. Gospels and letters, the only reason they're considered scripture is because those are just people living the scriptures, which is the Tanakh, which is an acronym for the Torah, the 5 books of Moses, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and the Kutuvim, which is the writings, or Psalms.
You know what's interesting is in Malachi, the last book that was written before the Messiah came, in the last chapter, the 3rd to the last verse, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Oreb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." And by the way, you're supposed to join the Israel of God. Now, isn't it interesting that from that point until the next page, Matthew, the churches are telling you to forget the law of Moses?
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And first I want you to give the Christian answer before you give the real answer. Who was the new covenant given to?
The church would say everybody, the Gentiles.
Oh, really? Where does it say that in the Word?
I don't know. I just told that in church.
Okay, now what's the Bible say?
Okay, the Bible says, and let's get from the Hebrews, because that's the New Testament,
so they don't doubt it. The book of Hebrews, you mean in the New Testament, mm-hmm. as people call it?
Yeah, we'll look in the book.
That's chapter 8, verse 8.
That's right. And where did they get it from, Angelo?
Well, let's see. Apostle Paul, because he didn't have any Bible like we have, so Apostle Paul is quoting Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. But let's go to the book of Hebrews real quick, chapter 8, verse 8. So was the new covenant given to the Baptist? There was no Baptist. How about the Church of Christ? Oh, there was no Church of Christ. Who was it given to?
It says, for finding fault with them, he saith, means the people, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with
who?
The house of Israel and the house of Judah.
Uh-oh.
And guess what? You're supposed to join them.
And who are they all together called?
The Israel of God.
Of course. It says, keep reading.
Not according to the covenant that they made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel.
Okay.
After these days.
So the covenant he's going to make with the house of Israel. And Apostle Paul is quoting verbatim Jeremiah 31, verse 31.
Amen.
Now, look, this might be a little bit over your head because this kind of gospel that we're preaching is right from the scriptures. I know you're so used to hearing church rhetoric and church lingo. What we're saying might sound strange to you, but it's right out of the Bible. We're not making this up. You can go look it up yourself. You know, to make this a little easier for you, tomorrow is the Shabbat of the Lord. Actually, starts tonight at sundown. I'd like to invite anyone who's listening to come to 605 Wilson Pike. That's the New Hope Community Church. We'll be there at 1 o'clock tomorrow, special day. At 1 o'clock, we'll be at 605 Wilson Pike. You are invited to come and experience the Sabbath. Come and ask your questions. We bring food. Come and sing with us. We dance. Come and meet some Jews that believe in Yeshua, Jesus. And if you're Jewish out there and you're listening, come on over. We'll show you out of the Hebrew Bible who the Messiah is. There could be no mistake. Praise the Lord. And, you know, you can get on our website. If you can't come tomorrow, go on our website. It's oneinmessiah.net. That's oneinmessiah.net. Oneinmessiah.net. Also, tomorrow, on Saturday, I'm going to be on News Channel 5, and that's News Channel 5, Issues of Faith, okay? It's Issues of Faith, News Channel 5, or Channel 50. And what time is it?
It's going to be on at 5 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, on 5:30 a.m. and 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday, and on Monday it's going to be on at 6:30 p.m., so we hope you watch it.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to invite you. You could email me at Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I, at oneofmessiah.net. You can call us anytime after the broadcast. That's 591-9820, 615-591-9820. That's after the broadcast. We just are trying to make straight the way of the Lord.
Amen. And we're talking about the Sabbath. Now, how horrible is it that you would actually keep one whole day from sunset to sunset for the Lord who created all of heaven and earth and has created everything that we have and that we do. What a horrible thing to do, isn't it? Just horrible.
Actually, the Bible says the Sabbath is a delight.
It is a delight.
You read Isaiah chapter 66, even after there's a new heavens and a new earth, there's going to be a Sabbath of the Lord. You know, I feel sorry for people that don't look these things up because you will be accountable. And, you know, how much sin is going to heaven? Zero. How many commandments can you break? You better not break the commandments of God.
You know, James says this. I love the book of James, and you really need to read it. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Amen. So the Lord is coming back for a church, ecclesia, the separated ones, without spot or blemish. So what does John say? What is sin?
Sin is a transgression of the law.
Oh, sin is the transgression of the Torah, the law.
You know, James also says something interesting. It says, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
Amen.
Because you can't be a respecter of persons. It's in the Torah.
And no transgressions,
That's
no
right.
transgressors are going to heaven.
And it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So if you don't commit adultery but you break the Sabbath, aren't you guilty of all?
That's what it says. Now, we are One of Messiah congregation. Join us tomorrow on the Sabbath, 12 o'clock. 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee, right in the New Hope Community Church. We'll be there at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Get on our website, oneamessiah.net. Please tune in also on Saturday at, let's see, I think that was 5 p.m.?
Yes, 5 o'clock p.m.
At,
on News Channel
Issues
5.
Of Faith. We are One of Messiah Congregation. God bless you, and may the Lord bring you to the knowledge of the truth. God bless.
Shalom.
Hi, this is Ian Stephen from Olympic City, Sydney, Australia, listening on the World Wide Web to WNAH Nashville.